B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
At 11:30 across the Delaware Valley, 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Gotta give some yo's, and always, if you want a yo, you reach out wherever you listen to the show, whatever place of business has our show on, they deserve a yo. So you hit us up on Twitter at Anthony L. Gargano, at 975 Middays, at my Instagram, Anthony Lewis Gargano. Whatever you want, we'll give you a yo. I gotta give a yo. We're new primos right now in Summers Point. 278 New Road, Unit 24, 278 New Road, Summers Point, New Jersey. Check them out. They got $6.99, the big primo size hoagies all day today for just $6.99. So check out the new primos. You get a yo in Summers Point. All right, Tunis. The question of the day, and then we'll give out the Friday Five coming up, but first we got our man D Gunn, and we'll give him the question of the day on the Comcast Business Hotline. You hear him on the pregame show with B West and Devon, and of course the Gun on One podcast. Our buddy, the man D Gunn. Hello, D.
Anthony, how you doing today, man?
Good, brother. You safe? Everybody good?
Everybody's good, man. It's a blessing, man. You know, you consider what's going on out there, and you try to be as careful and as courteous and as cautious as you can be. And, you know, that's all you can do. And in my house, everybody's doing great, man. That's all I can ask.
Oh, God bless you, bro. That's awesome. Fantastic. You're doing right now, you're doing, you're feeding the homeless. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, once a month, a lot of people are at church. We get together, and we make lunches for the homeless. We get sandwiches. We give them a piece of fruit, a nutrition bar, and a bag of chips or something like that. Our youth group does it once a month, and then, the older people, do it once a month. So each session, we do a minimum of like 280, 285 sandwiches. And we do it in conjunction with other churches in the area. And, it's a really good cause. And a lot of needy people benefit from it, man. And when you think about what some people are going through out there, you know, the homeless, trying to make ends meet, don't have anything, nobody to turn to. What little you can do just to contribute and put a smile on somebody's face, if only for a moment, it's worth it.
It's a beautiful day. Proud of you, man. Respect
Thank
that.
You, bro.
God bless you. A million times. I think that's wonderful. D, to the question at hand with the birds, and it's weird because we stumbled on this today. One of the things that before the show, Trudis and I always talk, and we, you know, Football Friday, birds must win, the whole yada yada yada. But Andrew said something pretty harsh, but that okay. Most people agree with. Go ahead, Andrew. Tell them what you said.
Hey, Derek, the Eagles suck. Yeah. The Eagles suck. That's all.
So he said they suck, and I go, they don't stink. They don't suck. I mean, they're not good.
No, they suck.
And we went through the levels, right? The you know, you have after the elite and very good and stuff, you have average, then you have
right.
below average, then you have suck / stink, then you have blow, right? That's like the divisions. And I thought they were between average and below average in that shaded area. But
right.
Andrew says they're in the stank area, just above
well,
the blow area.
I put the Jets in the suck / blow area. I mean, we
well, that's
be
separate,
covering
though. The
Jets.
Blow area is the bottom.
Yeah.
They blow
okay.
is the Jets. Now, they
I
suck
the
is
the
above the
average.
Jets. Okay.
Right. I put the Eagles below average. We all had higher expectations for this team. And, yes, they've underachieved in a lot of ways. Some of it due to the multitude of injuries they've gone through. A lot of it due to inconsistent play from the quarterback and the play calling of the head coach. But they're still at the top of the worst division in football. They're not at the bottom. They're still at the top, clinging to life at the top of the worst division in football right now. So I put them at below average. I can't put them in the suck blow category just yet.
So let's look at Sunday now, because Sunday is paramount, D. When you look at this whole thing, there's no Myles Garrett for Cleveland. It's going to be an ugly game, as it usually is this time of the year off Lake Erie. There's rain in the forecast, 100% Sunday afternoon. Now, they're going to run at you with those two bulls, right? They're going to be running Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. And you kind of know what kind of game it is. Or can they get into the muck and win a slug-em-out game?
I think they can. You know, it hurts Cleveland's offense that Odell's lost for the season. And now Miles, you know, which had 9.5 sacks, is not there. But those two running backs they have, my goodness, they're arguably the best 1-2 tandem in the NFL. They both had over 100 yards rushing last weekend. And, you know, Chubb had been out since week number 4, and he's back with a vengeance right now. It all depends on which Baker Mayfield shows up. I mean, that guy's like Jekyll and Hyde. You know, one week he'll throw for 350 yards, and next week he's lucky if he can throw for a buck 50. The key to defending him, though, is can you get to him? He's only been sacked 12 times this year, and obviously that's because he's handing off the ball more than he's stepping back to pass the ball. But you got to get to him somehow, because they still have enough weapons with Jarvis Landry and Austin Hooper to do some damage in the passing game as well. And as we all know, the tight end has been the Eagles' kryptonite this year. So, you know, it's hard to say what team is going to show up for the Eagles and what team is going to show up for Cleveland. But I do think the Eagles can get this game. They have to get this game when you look at the next four, because I don't know which of the next four they're going to win, to be honest with you.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Well, just because you have to get it doesn't mean you're going to get it, right? So that's
true.
I mean, that's, and here's my concern, because when I say can they win a slug 'em out game, that means they're going to have to run the ball,
right?
Now, A, can Jug help himself? B, is Sanders rugged enough to handle the big load? And see, can that line, now I thought that line, for the most part, they were able to run it. Now the Giants played him with the two safeties back and were saying to run. Now I don't know. Cleveland, maybe they go, we're going to crowd the box and say, go ahead, Carson, go beat us from the pocket.
I think they could run the ball on Cleveland's defense. I mean, I thought the Giants had a pretty good defensive front. Giants were giving up 96 yards a game rushing. The Eagles hit them for a buck 56, you know, say on 23 carries. So they can run the ball. Will they commit to the run? We say that every week, and we come back on the day after the game. It's like, what is Doug thinking? The run was working. Why did you get away from it? You know, who knows what his game plan is. The thing that bothers me now is what Doug came out earlier this week and said, what, you know, maybe I should call more plays for Carson to get outside of the pocket. Hello? Haven't we been screaming this for weeks?
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't even understand
that. I don't get it.
I'll be honest.
I don't get it.
You know, I mean, we're pikers. Like, I mean, we're pikers screaming at it. It's not, you know, again, it's everybody. It's the whole city is telling you to move the pocket.
We've been saying it for weeks, and all of a sudden, he gets this premonition 9 weeks into a season? Are you kidding? I don't know. He has said some things, and he has done some things that make me bang my head against the wall. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You know, you're costing your team in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You're putting them in situations where they can't get out of. They're not that come-from-behind team like they used to be. They're not that dominant, you know, 25, 30-point-a-game team like they used to be. And you're not helping them. You're hurting them more than you're helping them. I don't get it. I don't know how to figure out this team, to be honest with you. I really don't.
Yeah. I can hear it in your voice. You have this, that's my frustration. Same thing, which is, I don't know, you don't know what they're thinking. It's the same thing, last week when, you go away from the run, right? You finally score, and you go for two, which is fine. I didn't like it, but they converted. But,
correct.
So now you're in the three category. You're the better team. Why would you go for it again? And again, these analytics are ridiculous. Like, you're the guy. I had John Calipari on yesterday. And John Calipari was railing against the analytics people. And he's like, listen, the guy that knows that gets involved in a game, he's got to be able to make these decisions. Because he's plugged in. He knows his team better than anybody else.
I think analytics, in a lot of ways, have made decision callers too robotic. What happened to the feel for the game? A hunch. What happened to this worked in the first half? Let's go back to this. I don't want some computer telling me what I should do next. That's what coaching is. It's a chess match between two people. Get back to the feel for the game. That's how you call a game of football. Not some computer telling you the percentages say do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's too many coaches that rely on this now.
Yeah.
And in Duck's case, it's not working.
Well, the problem is how they use it as a tool to cover their rear end, right? It's like, hey, don't get mad at me. The analytics told us.
Exactly.
I mean, what are you serious?
If I'm going to get called out, I'd rather be called out for a human error, not a computer error.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. And if it was me, I go. Yeah, at that point, I wanted to kick it because I wanted to stay within three. That's my belief system. I don't care if it tells me that X amount of times I got a 68% chance if I convert it. Well, what if I don't convert it? Now I'm down four and I'm chasing. I got to score a touchdown instead of prolonging the game when I'm the better team.
Exactly. And all you're thinking if you're within three is, okay, we get a stop, maybe we'll get a turnover, maybe we get a short field, and if we don't score the touchdown, at least we tie the game. Maybe we can push it to overtime, but no, not this team. And so, again, I don't know what to expect from this team on Sunday. I know Cleveland is a fairly good team. They're a 6-3 team. That's not by accident. This year they're 6-3. I'm not saying they're this playoff-bound juggernaut, but they're a much better team this year than they have been in recent years. And now they've learned how to win. And, they're chasing the Steelers and the Ravens in that AFC North. And, they're thinking playoffs right now.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are just another step in their destination of where they're trying to get, where they haven't been many times before since 2000.
Listen, I'm with you. D Gum with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. The other question, the mystery, and this is what I really need you to button up for me is, what defensively, you let the Giants with Wayne Gallman running RPOs with Daniel Jones go up and down the field on you, start the game. Because lost in Doug, because he gets a lot of the arrows, is Schwartz. What's this defense doing? What's this defensive front doing? You talk to those guys, D. What happened?
It's gap control. It's mental mistakes. The first play of scrimmage, it's a sack, and you're thinking, okay, they're going to set the tone. After that, Giants walk down the field like they're walking through wet paper. And all of a sudden, you look up, it's 14-3 at halftime, and the Giants are down. Giants have 94 yards rushing on this defense with Wayne Gallman and Alfred Morris in the first half. And, of course, the quarterback runs the same play from the same formation. He went on an 80-yard sprint and got tripped up by the turf monster, and he takes it to the house. But if you look at that play closer, Anthony, look at the lack of effort. Once Daniel Jones hit that seam, where's your safety coming up? Where's Jalen Mills coming up? where are the guys shedding blocks trying to get to Daniel Jones? It's like they made a half-hearted effort, and they just stopped and watched the guy. It's like they escorted him into the end zone.
Yeah.
It's a lack of effort. It's a lack of focus.
Wow.
And, you know, you hear Jalen Mills, you know, we're pissed off. Well, you know what? I don't want to hear you talk about it anymore, you know, because the fan base is pissed off. You know, I don't, you know what? If you're that ticked off, go out there and mow right through the Cleveland Browns. Because if you don't, people, media are going to come down even harder on you next week. And then the next week. And the next week. You know, so, you know, I don't want to hear you talk about it anymore. Talk is cheap. You guys have been talking for 9 weeks. And look at the results right now.
I like it. How about D? Firing him up. Way to go, brother. Who's on the D? Who's on the Gun and One podcast, man?
This week I have one of my all-time favorites. I've gotten to know him over the last 15 years, and he and I are good friends. DJ Jazzy Jeff.
I've been trying
to get him on various platforms for a couple of years. And he and I used to be neighbors. We used to live eight houses down from each other, and now he lives about a quarter of a mile down the road from me, and we just chop it up. You know, there is no more passionate Philadelphia sports fan than DJ Jazzy Jeff. And I tell you what, you have to listen because he breaks down the Eagles, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz. And then we chop it up about just life, man, and things that he's done. And here's a guy who would normally travel 150, 160 days a year. But due to COVID, he's rethought the process. He has his incredible studio in his home. He can do everything from his home, and he says, I'm never traveling this much again. And, of course, you know, we've heard him talk on other platforms. He really came close to dying from COVID earlier this year.
Wow.
You know, he thought it was just a bad flu bug, and it turned out he had a real bad case of COVID, and he thought he was at death's doorstep.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, he got through that. And you know what? If you ever met him on the street and didn't know who he was standing there and talk to you all day. That's just the kind of person he is.
That's awesome.
He's a great personality. And for a guy who's had the global success that he's had in his lifetime, he is the most down-to-earth individual you ever want to meet.
Ah, that's beautiful. I love it. I'll be listening, man. I'm a big DJ Jazzy Jeff fan, too, and a big D-Gun fan. So without a doubt, buddy. Listen, have a great weekend, and we'll be listening to you Sunday morning.
Hopefully we're talking about a W on Monday. And not this another L. You know, keep your fingers crossed, brother.
I hear you. I got you. Thanks, buddy. There he is.
All right, take
care. D-Gun on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.